This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, Kith. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
This is the Annie Fry Show. This is Ryan Wiggins filling in for Annie Fry, who is off today and will be back on Tuesday, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Brad Range. I've been touting this interview because I love talking to Trent Luce. I'm glad that he's here. So Trent is the original farm-to-table man, in my opinion. He is a sixth-generation rancher, and he knows all things going on in this area of the country, especially as far as farms and ranches go. Trent, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, Ryan, that little segment about women not belonging in the newsroom, that'll get you in trouble in 2021. Way to go.
I didn't make that. That is Annie Fry herself who made that about Annie Fry. So she can get away with it. I wouldn't do it, although I have said it before. Let me start with this, because we talked to you probably a couple months ago over the summer, and the number one issue that we discussed then was China buying up both land in the United States and, you know, animals, basically, and produce. Where do we stand with that as of today compared to the summer?
Well, it's an interesting week to ask that question, because we have an infrastructure problem on fuel. Since January the 21st, we've had a concerted effort to cripple our ability to produce our own fuel supply. And for people that don't know, in 2017, we became oil independent. We were exporting oil to other countries. That's how much of development and how much we had built the infrastructure. So we shut down several pipelines. In fact, in your area, the STL pipeline was a subject of a lawsuit verdict, I believe, on last week, the 18th, although come to think of it, I don't know how that turned out, but 1.7 million homes were at risk of losing their natural gas for their supply. And as we continue to cripple and shut down the infrastructure of the United States, our own oil production, we asked China on Friday if they would release some oil reserves. And so none of that makes any sense. And so I went to digging, and three of the largest oil companies in the world, unbelievably, are from China. Their office is in Beijing. The interesting part of that is that they do not have oil production in China. Their oil comes from the United States. So, and all of that is tied into agriculture, because, Ryan, we tend to forget that 1 gallon of diesel fuel replaces 500 man hours of labor in food production. So if we don't have access to fuel for food production, we will have a very hard time finding food production, because unless people are ready to grab a hoe and go back to hoeing a row, it's going to be really tough to come by that fuel. And we also see something else that people don't realize is tied in food production to energy and oil, is that over half of the fertilizer needs that are applied to farms all across this country come from natural gas. 2 weeks ago, Russia announced that they were going to reduce their number one natural gas importer. They're going to reduce their fertilizer importation to the United States by 40%. So farmers are reaping one of the best harvests they've ever had in 2021 and don't have a clue what's going to happen in 2022 because they don't know if they can afford seed, they don't know if they can afford fertilizer, and most importantly, they don't know if they're going to have fuel to run the tractors to produce the food. So we're in a very precarious situation.
That's interesting because we tend to, when we talk about inflation, categorize it into things like food and like energy, but you're saying that it's actually the cost of energy that's causing the inflation in food.
That's correct. And then this week, I think it was yesterday maybe, we saw another announcement from the White House that they were going to demand and mandate that all truckers be jabbed.
Yeah.
Well, your food travels via a truck to get from the farm to the factory to the retail store where you buy it. If there are no trucks, we already have. I have one friend I did a program with last week. He owns 11 trucks. They are not moving because he can't find a driver before this mandatory jab was going into play. So all of it revolves around food and energy, and our infrastructure is in big trouble right now.
Trent, you're very close, you know, to all of this. You're boots on the ground kind of guy. It's one of the reasons I love having you on. When we talk about a worker shortage, is that particular to certain industries like, you know, we see fast food a lot, but also to truck drivers, to infrastructure, to, you know, people who are moving these things? Is it particular to those industries? Because I've been looking into this issue, and it looks like unemployment has dropped, not back to where it was under Trump, but it's getting better. But we still see all these industries having trouble finding people to work.
I think the unemployment numbers look favorable because we have a record number of people that have stopped looking for a job.
Good point.
The unemployment numbers are only people that are actually looking for employment. And I've spoken to audiences in 41 states since May the 1st. And so I've been in every part of every corner of this nation. And there is one common denominator, no matter where you're located, in Nevada, Florida, or Massachusetts, that cannot find people to work. It is a massive problem.
Why do you think that is? I mean, that's a blunt question, but what do you think is at the source of people not going back to work?
I think the divisionary tactics which are taking place. I get 3 to 4 phone calls a day from people in the health field that are not going to comply and take this mandatory jab, so they're willing to walk away because they feel that their health is threatened. We have people that have been paid not to work. We're putting $1.7 trillion that we don't have into the economy to pay people to do nothing, and now we're talking about another $3 trillion. But I really think it just comes back to we've lost the work ethic, and we have created such a division that people don't know who to trust and where to even go get factual information anymore.
Yeah, and speaking—
I'll give you one example that I think is just classic in my world. Ryan, I have a friend in Nevada. His name is Hank Vogler. He runs 10,000 sheep on federal lands, and they've been attempting to chase people from federal lands just like they're attempting to chase people off of private property. It's all about a land grab, and I can walk you through every step of that. But from a labor standpoint, Hank Vogler had 24 H-2A workers. He follows the government program. He brings legal workers in here. He spends about $4,000 to acquire one worker from Peru or Mexico. He currently has 13. He's struggling in getting enough people to tend to the sheep going into winter, to haul water and do all of the things that they need to do. And they continue, the Department of Labor harasses him daily about what he's not doing for his employees that he has. And he can't get the ones he gets, if he hasn't had them for a period of time, they come to this country, then they go off illegal out into the field and seek other employment. We just do not have the work ethic in the United States that we should have to maintain it and what built this country to be the great resource-producing nation we are.
Trent Luce is on the phone with a sixth-generation rancher and friend of the show. Let me ask you this. The Department of Labor that you just mentioned, were they harassing people like this under Trump as well? Is this the deep state in action, basically, or is this deliberate by this administration?
No, this one cannot be tied to this administration. That harassment of employers has been taking place as long as I've been around. It has accelerated, but we have the same bureaucrat. It is the deep state. And what's really frustrating about it right now is that we're incentivizing and we are paying people to illegally come in this country. And here's a guy in Nevada, and this is just one example, because there's people in every state doing this, using the H-2A program, trying to find workers, trying to get people to harvest crops in California, whatever the case may be. We're paying people to come across the border illegally from the South, and while people are hiring legal immigrants to work in their operation and their business, they're being harassed out of business. What about this makes sense?
Yeah, and Trent, let me... because I want to get to this topic before we run out of time here. Let's talk about China real quick. Last time I talked to you, you had said that they were buying up land as quick as they could. Now, Texas Governor Greg Abbott at the time, this was a couple months ago, was attempting to put the kibosh on that, and maybe some other governors were just starting to look at it. Do you have any updates on that particular issue?
Well, in my country and my world, being not just Nebraska, but the rural part of the country, we have people. I've never watched one of these, but the Yellowstone series. Have you watched that, Ryan? On I don't even know what outlet airs it.
Oh, my wife tried to watch it, and she said she was bored, so I didn't.
Man, she must be hard to please. You're doing well. So beyond all of that, you know, it's kind of captured because it talks about ranching, and I've not watched it because I saw some things that were happening there that concerned me. And you're wondering, why am I talking about a TV production when you ask me a question about China? Well, the producer, the creator of that program is a guy named Thomas Tull, who is a Wall Street investor who in 2015 struck a deal with a billionaire in China whose name is Wang. And they control 85% of the movie theaters in this country. They own AMC. They control the production in Hollywood. And now all of a sudden we hear that this group is buying every Western. They bought the biggest horse ranch in the United States 3 weeks ago, the Four Sixes in Texas. They continue to acquire property and real estate. And if you really think about what Hollywood's been doing and the message that they've been portraying, and now you learn that 80,000 theaters in this country are owned by AMC, owned by the billionaires of China, it's pretty easy to connect the dots and see that this is a complete takeover of our culture and our property and our assets.
Incredible. Gosh, every time I talk to you, you drop these bombs, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I had never heard that China owned that many movie theaters. I guess, in a sense, it's better that they own the movie theaters that nobody's going to after COVID than owning the actual production companies. But they have so much influence over Hollywood productions now, too, that it doesn't even matter. I mean, everybody's part of the Chinese dollars at this point.
Well, actually, I was in a movie and was helped write a movie. You can watch it on Netflix. It's called The Stand at Paxton County. There was zero Chinese influence, but I did develop some friends in Hollywood as a result of this. And they said they've never seen anything like it. 30, 40-year veterans, like Christopher McDonald was in my movie with me. You know, he still does Happy Gilmore or Shooter McGavin programs all around the country. That was 1981 that movie was on. But all of those veterans in Hollywood say they've never seen a time when the money would influence what happens like it's been happening with China. Usually, if they tried to sway and do more of an indoctrination, they didn't care how much money they had. They said, take it somewhere else. Now it's completely controlled. That indoctrination is paid for and sponsored by China and the billionaires of the Wang company.
Incredible. Now we're almost out of time here. Last question for you, Trent. Trent Luce on the phone with a sixth-generation rancher and just a wealth of knowledge, so appreciate you being here. But when we talk about energy, I've seen recently that Biden, right after meeting with China, did decide, and I don't know if these two things are related, but it looked like they were because it was right after he met with President Xi over there, that he decided to open up some drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and in the Pacific, which is better than nothing. He's not opening up leases in the Southwest, which he's shut down like crazy. He's not opening up pipelines, but he's at least opening up a little bit of more drilling in the oceans. Do you expect that that's going to have an impact? Is he starting to maybe realize that this stuff's going to hurt him politically, or is this all a show?
Disney is very creative at making you think they care.
So we're not going to see prices on gas drop anytime soon.
They will double the next time you and I talk.
Well, then let's talk in about 20 years. So once I turn 50 or 60, we'll have another conversation. Trent Luce, so appreciate your time so much and just your knowledge, and thanks for being here today.
My pleasure, Ryan. And don't forget, the reason for Thanksgiving is to thank God for the opportunity to have this food to feed our families.
Absolutely. Great message here on Thanksgiving Eve. I'm Ryan Wiggins in for Annie Fry. And like I said, coming up next, we are going to talk to Peter Navarro. This is an interview I did earlier this week. I want you to pay very, very close attention to when he starts naming names. It's about halfway through this interview, maybe about two-thirds of the way through. It lasts about 20 seconds. It'll fly by you, but man, does he go for the jugular when he does it. Stick around. That's next here on the Annie Fry Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is Toby Mac. Did you pick this?
Indeed,
no, wait,
I did.
It's not even Toby Mac.
It's not.
I got it wrong. It's Crowder.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now that we're back on track, Ryan Wiggins here in for Annie Fry. Thanks for being here this Wednesday afternoon. Hopefully you're having a good beginning maybe to your holiday. If you're not off, well, we're not either. So we're here for you all day here until 3, and Mark Reardon will take over at 3 and take you through the afternoon. So I've been teasing this all day. This is the part where we actually talk to Peter Navarro. So he's, again, just setting this up. He's one of the only three advisors, excuse me, to the president who was there from the beginning in 2016. He was there through 2021, the beginning of this year. And he has been in every single one of these meetings. All the stuff that you see on TV, it's such a difference to talk to people who are opinionated, smart people, and then people who are there, people who are in the Oval Office for these meetings. So that's why I love talking to Peter Navarro.
Hey, I'm just so happy to be with you from the swamp here in D.C. Lovely day in D.C. as the Republic falls down around us.
Man, no kidding. I didn't expect to talk to you about this bill, but incredible,
yeah,
the
yeah.
things that are in this bill and the fact that it actually could pass. But we'll see.
When the fate of the Republic depends on Joe Manchin in the Senate, you know that we are in the last days of either Pompeii or Rome.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, the In Trump Time book is interesting because there's a whole section of it where, as long as you take you back to the time when President Trump was trying to pass a $2 trillion bill that was actually meaningful, and it's important to talk about it because it provides a really important contrast to what we're seeing there. Like, we were trying to get a $2 trillion bill passed. There were a lot of people who were in pain at the time. Some of that was relief. But most of all, what we were trying to do, and there's a lot of money for bringing back our manufacturing to U.S. soil. When you bring back the factories here, then you bring back the supply chains. You have resilient supply chains. When you offshore your factories, the supply chains follow, and you have fragile supply chains at best and broken supply chains in a pandemic. And so if you just compare what we were trying to do, it was pure Trumpian, rebuild American manufacturing, make America great again. But what we have in contrast, it's in math we call it the empty set. There's like no Venn diagram intersection of these bills. It's like it's just pure woke, progressive, zombie fiscal irresponsibility that's going to trigger not only inflation, but also stagflation, which is slower growth because of the drag we're going to get from all of the knock-on effects of this bill. So this is a serious matter.
Now, your book, In Trump Time, deals with the COVID era, basically, A Journal of America's Plague Year is what it's called. So when you talk about these things, you talk about these spending bills, are you specifically referring to the money that President Trump and Republicans wanted to spend during COVID? Or are you talking about the infrastructure at large, which Trump also did want to do?
The former, but it bleeds into the latter. Mm-hmm. The whole notion of the bill we designed, and let me be clear about this. When you look at Nancy Pelosi, she's purely a Botoxed political animal, right? She does not care about the American manufacturing base or the American worker. The only reason why we didn't pass that $2 trillion bill under President Trump was Pelosi didn't want to give the president a win politically. So it was like she would rather sacrifice American jobs, American workers, American prosperity on the altar of having what we now know is the worst president in history in Joe Biden, because he's just clueless. So our emphasis was on bringing back manufacturing plants. There was like a cool provision in it even where there would be tax breaks available to American corporations that shut down their plants in China and brought them back here. Now, all of that would have fed in to the need, certainly, for infrastructure and things like that. But that wasn't the focus of the bill. The focus was make America manufacturing great again.
Yeah, it's amazing when you talk about Pelosi, because she is willing to do that. She will go as far as she can she'll sacrifice the needs of the country for the good of her party. We've talked about that many times here on this station, on this show. The Republicans don't seem to want to do that. And I don't know if it's because they don't feel like they have the media support that Democrats have, because the media will just run cover for anything the Democrats do. But, you know, the Republicans, they will cross over at times and give wins to Democrats on things that they think are at least in the in the best interest of the country, even if they don't think it's in their best interest politically. Now, I don't know if that's a good move or not, but they will do it.
I think you're giving the Republican defectors too much credit.
I do too.
For example, if you look at Chris Smith in New Jersey, he's a good man. He's been around a long time. I interacted with him. I interviewed him for my Death by China film, and he has a great segment on the Uyghur abuses in China, right? But he crossed party lines because he's in an urban Acela corridor district in New Jersey, and he just wanted a little pork for his district. And shame on Chris. I mean, that shame on Chris. That had nothing to do with the betterment of the country. I mean, you can't, as a congressman or a senator, put the needs of your district ahead of the broader welfare of the nation and hope for a good outcome. The broader welfare of the nation in this case is that's a bill that's going to leave us with a possibly decade-long era of this stagflation like we had in the 70s. The other part is there's an interesting chapter in the In Trump Time book at the end called Dumb Sons of Bitches. That's part of the title. And one of those, and President Trump is the one who called McConnell this, is about how Mitch McConnell basically works for the Republican traditional Davos Wall Street corporate wing of the Republican Party that wants to get rid of Trumpism, Donald Trump, and cares not a whit for the working class of America. And McConnell, I mean, he is the one who is ultimately responsible for what we're witnessing now, because some weeks ago he allowed Pelosi some breathing room. All right, he came to an agreement and gave them some breathing room to get to what they needed to do on the debt ceiling, this, that, and the other thing. And that, we had him right then. We had him on the ropes. The knockout punch was ready to be delivered, and Mitch McConnell stepped into the ring, got on his knees, and basically said, "Hit us instead." And shame on him. And him, between him and Kevin McCarthy, I know Kevin did his like 8 hours of stuff last night, but these guys, you know, their haircuts in a suit, six years, right? They collect money in the Senate from corporate donors. One day out of six, they report to the voters, and that's kind of what we're up against.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. That's why we like having you on the show. Peter Navarro is former assistant to President Donald Trump, and he's author of In Trump Time, A Journal of America's Plague Year, which is a great idea for a Christmas gift, and it's going to be one of mine. Let me ask you this. I logged on to my news aggregates last night, and I saw a headline I'm going to read to you and see if you want to react here. House COVID, this is from Forbes, House COVID-19 Committee subpoenas former Trump advisor Peter Navarro.
Yeah, I will react to that. I sent out a statement. Basically, this is yet another Democrat witch hunt, and I have offered to give every committee member a copy of the In Trump Time book, which documents in detail just how well the White House performed on what I call the five-vector attack strategy, which was not just the vaccines, the therapeutics, the ventilators, the testing, and the personal protective equipment. A little breaking news for you. I just had a sheriff come and deliver a subpoena to me, despite the fact I had already acknowledged that subpoena. So, what they're trying to do is intimidate me, intimidate Steve Bannon, rattle their cages. It's just such a waste of my time, the taxpayers' time, and the Democrats' power. I mean, they're going to be out on their ass in 2022, and those subpoenas aren't going to be worth any more than toilet paper. And meanwhile, the American economy is going to be in tatters because of what they do. So, the other thing about that committee, it's like, hey, here's an idea, Jim Clyburn. Why not subpoena Tony Fauci and find out why we have the pandemic to begin with? What about those gain of function experiments? One of the big missions of the In Trump Time book is to get Fauci fired and in jail. And as I document in the In Trump Time book, he basically knew exactly where that virus came from and what it might do as early as January 2020. He lied by omission to us, and that lie alone cost hundreds of thousands of American lives.
Yeah, I remember, talking to you last time when I saw that headline and the fact that they're trying to get you to come and talk to him. All the things you just said. Well, why aren't they trying to find out what Fauci knew and dig into more of what he was doing funding gain-of-function research? That's why you have a committee, but it's just a partisan committee, and so they're doing this kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
But, you said last time we spoke that these guys, and I think you said it was Fauci and maybe the head of the FDA and NIH, sat there with you in the Oval Office and President Trump in February 2020, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you guys said, what are you going to do about this thing that looks like it's coming to the United States? And they sat there with slack-jawed, like, oh, we're supposed to do something?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
The opening scene in the book, I call it the Red Wedding chapter. I'm in the East Wing of the White House, January 15, 2020. Everybody's kind of like in an exuberant mood because we're about to sign this skinny-ass trade deal, which was a pale shadow of what it should have been. And I'm sitting there in a cold sweat knowing that a pandemic likely was on the way and wondering if China had just attacked us with a bioweapon. I mean, that's how out of touch these people were. You know, I go on, I meet Fauci in the Situation Room on January 28th, and go mano-a-mano with him on the travel ban. And meanwhile, the day before, he's on radio shows saying that the virus is low risk. It's like, really, dude? Wait, and that's all the more sociopathic because he knew that virus came from that lab. He knew it was genetically engineered, and he knew there was going to be a pandemic. And I think he was hoping against hope that somehow whatever the Chinese commies genetically engineered in that lab might not be deadly. But it turned out to be just the opposite. So, yeah, in Trump time, put him in jail. And if you read the book and by the time you get to the end of it, you don't think he should be in jail, I'll give you double your money back.
Sounds like a good guarantee. Let me ask you this before we run out of time. The whole time that you guys were in the office, and you know, you were one of the three advisors who was with President Trump the whole time from 2016 through 2020 and beyond. When you were dealing with this pandemic, were you operating under the assumption that this is something that China had done deliberately?
When you say we, that's the wrong word to use. It's like me, the president, and National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien were certainly well aware that that might likely be the case. For the clowns like Steve Mnuchin at Treasury or Larry Kudlow or Mick Mulvaney, the acting feckless chief of staff, no, they thought it was the flu. Don't worry, be happy. So that was part of those are part of the struggles that I really explore in the In Trump Time book. And it speaks to the old Reagan saw personnel as policy. And I refine that by saying bad personnel is bad policy is bad politics. And these feckless folks within the White House perimeter made that election close enough to steal. And as I explained in the In Trump Time book, steal it, the Democrats did.
Peter Navarro, author of In Trump Time, a journal of America's plague year, but also of the Navarro Report, like you just mentioned, with all of that documentation from possible fraud from the election. You can check all of that out. He is the former assistant to President Donald Trump, and I do recommend getting his book. Thank you so much for the time this morning. Appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight,
You deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This now? I gotta ask you every time because I don't know it.
This is Dropkick Murphys.
Oh. This is like the Irish rock ska band.
I don't know what you call it, but I like it. It's good for the gym.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's funny. When you go to the gym, you have to have a playlist that's very specific because the beats per minute have to be right.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be where you'd step at the right, whether you're running or walking, mm-hmm. you have to have the right beats to keep you going.
This is my running rhythm.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's like a jog.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No.
It's not a run.
I don't sprint for the 5K or whatever it is.
This is Ryan Wiggins. That's Brad Range. We are in for Annie Fry today. We're normally here at about this time anyway, so not too much different, just not having Annie around. Last segment we just talked to, or we replayed the interview from Peter Navarro. I wanted to play this back. If I was a good radio host, I would have played this at the beginning of that interview. This is Dr. Fauci making a claim just yesterday.
And, you know, I'm not in it for a popularity contest. I'm trying to save lives. And the people who weaponize lies are killing people. So the only question I have is that when you show Tucker Carlson and Peter Navarro criticizing me, I consider that a badge of honor.
Mm.
I love it. That Peter Navarro's out here doing these things. And Fauci's aware of it. And I love that.
It means he heard him.
Exactly. And guys like Navarro, man, the reason that I like him, because he says some stuff that I'm like, seriously? But he's there. You know, he's there experiencing all these things in the White House with the president doing mm-hmm. this stuff. So, how many people will get on who are part of an administration, they're part of the political world, and will just say, here's the deal with Kevin McCarthy. And this is a guy on his side, supposedly.
Yeah.
Here's the deal with Kevin McCarthy. He raises money for 6 days and talks to the voters for one day. Awesome. thank you very much for summing up probably what the majority of Washington does, let alone Republicans do.
Yeah, but are we surprised by that?
No, but somebody who's in it, coming out and just saying it that bluntly, mm-hmm. I just appreciate that.
Do you think that's why maybe they didn't want Trump in to begin with, because they knew they would bring people in that were not, I mean, what we call outsiders now, that are definitely political outsiders that come in to do a job, they'd get in there, they'd see how the sausage was made, and then come back and report to the American people, and then everybody's like, oh, now we're going to have to change how we do it, and the gravy train's over.
I can't think of a better explanation as to why they didn't want him in. I mean, that's exactly why they didn't want him in. Also, you can't buy him. He's rich. And how many people... Now, a lot of politicians are rich, but it's because they're funded by people who are pulling the strings. He had no ties to anybody. He was just a wealthy real estate guy and also had all these other, you know, he had board games and state companies and universities. And he was an entrepreneur, and he'd made a ton of money. And even now, he doesn't need the RNC. He doesn't need any organization to fund him. He could do it himself. He'll take their money. Ronald McDaniel's going to raise money for him. He'll probably take it when he runs in 2024.
Well, it'd be silly not to, right?
Why wouldn't he? But, yeah, I mean, he's so ridiculously independent. He's a unicorn in that sense. There aren't really people like him who can do that.
I keep trying to think of people that maybe would fit that mold, but I just, like, even on the other side of the aisle, it's like, you know, really rich people that would run for office that would just kind of be basically a bull in a china shop and not really care what members of his own party thought and would fight with everybody who wants to fight with him. And I can't come up with anybody other than Donald Trump like that.
As much as I put DeSantis in that category, he's lacking one thing, and that's the money.
Mm-hmm.
He's not rich. And that's not a knock against
him.
It's just that he's going to have to cater a little bit to fundraisers more than Trump would.
And that's something that kind of like, this is what bothers me about politics in general, that to not be influenced by the money, you have to have money yourself.
Yeah.
And so maybe the founders didn't envision this because they were all wealthy people as well. You know, they had farms and plantations and all this, but maybe this idea that like the everyday average Joe could run for office and make a difference. Yeah, it still could, but you get in there and you have to have such integrity and willpower to resist the money. And then if you resist the money but you don't have influence, you're just going to get steamrolled by the machine.
Well, I think you just said the key word, and that's integrity. If you don't have integrity going into the office, there's no way you're going to have it after you get
right.
in. And some people with integrity get in and then they lose it.
Yeah.
Because there's so much power and influence and money there that they forget why they're there. And it happens subtly. I don't think any one of them goes in, who you'd respect, goes in and says, well, I'll just sacrifice here or there. It happens very slowly. They know how to basically churn you into the machine.
Yeah, it's just chip away.
Yeah.
Just little chips. You know, the old phrase, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Exactly.
And so they just kind of chip, chip, chip. And the next thing you know, maybe you don't recognize who you are anymore. But I, you know, and I don't want to say that about every politician out there, because there is a ton of people that are in politics, and maybe there are a bunch more than I know of, and than who I would know of, that are people of integrity, but you don't hear about them because they're not part of the machine.
They're not part of the machine, and they don't self-publicize
right.
very well.
Right.
And that's a weird dichotomy, because usually when you have somebody who's really good at self-promotion, they're also kind of like used car salesmen,
yeah.
you know? And Trump is really good at self-promotion, but he also doesn't fall into that machine. So a lot of the people that you're talking about who do maintain that integrity, they do so by being quiet. Mm-hmm. And that's why we don't know who they are. And that's not necessarily a bad thing either. That's why DeSantis to me is so interesting, because I don't think he's going to run in 2024. I'm almost positive Trump is.
Well, I don't think he'll run if Trump runs. It doesn't make sense to run against
exactly.
Trump.
Exactly. And I don't think... Here's a question. Do you think Trump's going to pick Mike Pence if he runs again?
I haven't even thought about that.
I don't think he will.
I can't see that, you know.
I don't. But I also don't think he'll pick DeSantis.
I wouldn't want him to pick DeSantis.
I don't either.
I need DeSantis. If DeSantis isn't going to be president of the United States, I need DeSantis in Florida, keeping Florida great.
I know, and I need a place to go on vacation.
Yeah.
So keep DeSantis in Florida and keep Florida great. But I really don't know who he would pick. You know, a lot of people are floating Tulsi Gabbard.
I wouldn't like that.
There are elements of her that I think are awesome.
Yeah.
Like, she's not, she kind of fights that establishment thing of, you know, people go to Washington and they become a different person. And she fights that in a way that I think is an absolute litmus test for any mm-hmm. good Republican now.
Mm-hmm.
Because had this conversation with John Hancock, I think last time he was filling in for Annie.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if it was on air or off air, but we were talking about somebody like Kristi Noem.
Yeah.
Who she is a dyed-in-the-wool, great traditional conservative. But we had this conversation, and you said something really smart in that conversation.
It happens from time to time.
It does happen. Where I'm that way too. You're that way. We would call ourselves traditional conservatives. But over the span of the last 4 or 5 years, that has evolved to be that you can't just rest on your heels while liberals or left like kind of runs over things.
Right.
Because that used to be the conservative way to say, no, we're principled, we're limiting government. Now you almost have to advance using government to protect those liberties.
You have to wield government yes. governmental power to protect your individual liberties.
Right. And there are traditional conservatives who haven't quite caught up to that yet.
I think that was to do with, was it Abbott, Greg Abbott, that banned companies from mandating vaccines?
Did he?
It was one of those governors. I don't remember if it was him or DeSantis. I know DeSantis has done it. But
yeah.
The question is, well, isn't that just big government? Isn't that just consolidating power? And it's like, well, what are you consolidating the power for?
That's exactly,
you know,
right. And that's exactly where we're at.
Are you protecting the rights of the person who can't protect themselves? Or
we got a second, don't we? Here, I got a clip from DeSantis on that very subject. Check this out.
So first of all, this idea that somehow conservatism is about like local school boards, it's the United States of America, not the United School Boards or County Commissions of America. So the states are the primary vehicles to protect people's freedoms, their health, their safety, their welfare in our constitutional system. What Biden is doing is not constitutional. There has never been a federal vaccine mandate imposed on the general public. I hear people talk about, you know, they do things in the military. Yeah, when I was in the military, they used to give me all kind of stuff. Honestly, I wish I would have thought a little bit, but I mean, whatever it was. But that's much different than regulating the military and then imposing it on civilians in society. It's never been done before. It's not, they don't have the power to do it. There's no federal police power. States have the federal police power. So that's from a constitutional perspective, it is worlds apart.
So that's basically the punctuation on the conversation we were just having.
Yeah.
I mean, he's talking about it's ultimately... It's not about local control. It's not about federal control. It's actually constitutionally about state control.
Yes.
And that's the whole point. And that's why he's said, look, here's my role. I'm doing this right. People are not doing it right. I am doing it right. Because the Constitution has said the states really should have the ultimate control over these things. And we've, as conservatives, ceded that to mean local control. But that's not exactly what that means.
Yeah. Yeah, the Constitution actually, it's called the Enumerations of Power. It lists what the federal government has.
The 10th Amendment.
And then it says everything else belongs to the state.
Yep, that's that amendment.
Yeah.
So DeSantis, I think, and it's one of the reasons we're cheering this guy on. Man, I flip test that guy and think, because he's doing that speech. That was in Brandon, Florida when he did that. You know, like that stuff. That's the kind of stuff that makes you laugh when he's on your side. But if you flip test it, I'd be so annoyed if it was somebody on the left doing it.
Well, I mean, he's running for office, though. Like,
yeah, he's doing it right.
I know he's up for re-election in Florida as governor.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I listened to him and he sure sounds like a guy who's running for office. And those speeches could just as easily be presidential campaign speeches as they are that.
He's that hockey player that if he's on the other team, you can't stand him because he just keeps getting right up in your face. But when he's on your team, you're like, yeah, he's my favorite guy.
He's Steve Ott.
Yes. Was he the Boston Bruins guy?
No, Steve Ott was he's a Blues player.
Well, there was somebody specifically in the 2019 run of the Stanley
Torrey
Cup.
Torrey Krug.
That was on the Bruins?
Yep, Torrey.
Wait, he's on our team now.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even realize that I was talking about that guy. Thanks, Brad. Producer extraordinaire. So Brad's got an awesome World War I history story. That's coming up next on the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.